The Delta region surely has its own language and culture. Take, for instance, the words los hombres calientes. It literally means the hot men. But in New Orleans, los hombres calientes are not a bunch of Ricky Martin wannabes gyrating to some mechanical Latin beat. Oh, no. In this part of the country, los hombres calientes is a group of five men and a woman who make music that is truly hot. Los Hombres Calientes have been around since 1998. They put out two CDs on Basin Street Records. A new disc, Volume 3, New Congo Square, is being released this week. I spoke with two founding members of the group, 52-year-old Bill Summers, a veteran percussionist who worked with Herbie Hancock, and 23-year-old trumpeter Irvin Mayfield. It was Mayfield who originally thought of forming the band. The idea came to him when he was hanging out with a fellow trumpeter and mentor in New Orleans.
When I was staying at Winter Marcellus's house, back when I was living with him, Chucho Valdez came over to the house, and they were playing together. And I noticed that there was something similar about those two people. And there was something similar about me and Chucho, and there's something similar about the people in New Orleans, the people in Cuba, the people in Brazil, the people in Haiti, the people in Jamaica. You know, it's something about that. And the thing I think, after being with Bill and doing all these things, I've come to realize that we are the same people in a sense. You know, New Orleans is the northern port of the Caribbean. And that's something Bill has been saying since I first met him that I never really understood.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. I think I read somewhere that says in many ways what connects New Orleans with the Caribbean is what separates it from the rest of the United States. Talk about that connection and how it is different from music elsewhere.
And one thing that we're connected with the rest of the Caribbean is that New Orleans has its own food, its own dialect, its own culture, its own music. It's a very specific thing, a certain way of doing things, a certain vibe. And, you know, it's like a third world country, if you will, of the United States. You know, it's this hybrid. It's this African place that's got all this African culture as much as being meshed with a bunch of other cultures together. When I came to Bill, I had this question of how am I related to this? And he had the answer.
Bill, you are a percussionist, but you didn't start out as a percussionist.
No, I started off as a little baby in Detroit. No, I was always a percussionist at heart, but my parents had this wonderful idea that they would take their two small African-American sons to the conservatory. And so we were enrolled into the Detroit Conservatory of Music. I was forced to play Chopin and Bach and Beethoven and Mendelssohn and Czerny exercises and arpeggios. And I often tell this experience. I had this one major, major experience at the conservatory. I bought some sheet music when I was about 9, and it was a song called One Mint Julep by Ray Charles. Mm-hmm. Brought it to my conservatory piano teacher, and she looked at it, and she folded it up in 4 and said, you know, when you finish your studies here, you'll have time for that stuff. Hmm. So that little experience right there kind of catapulted me into studying more about African and African-derived music forms, because I was very hurt by that experience. Even though I was 8 or 9, I understood the gravity of what she did. It made me more aware of my own lack of knowledge of African-American musical contributions and the history of that beyond the shores of America.
When Bill moved to New Orleans, everybody knew. It had a real impact on the city culturally because also Bill, being a percussionist, he's also studied in the African genres and religions, and he's thoroughly understands the history of the drums.
Actually, you know, learning the history and culture was kind of difficult because there wasn't very much written on it. So that's one of the gaps that I felt my life was leading me towards, was to try to become more competent and understanding of what we did contribute, the science of it, the complexity of it, not just what people thought it was about.
Yeah.
You know, like Africans drumming on drums and just beating to a frenzy until they fall out in orgasm. It just doesn't go down that way.
When I thought of the band, I didn't think of starting a band as, you know, we were going to be a touring band. I thought we would just be doing one gig, maybe two gigs in New Orleans, and call it a day, you know.
Irvin and I have our own opinions about certain things in music, and they're different because I don't believe in improvisation. I don't think there's any such thing, because to improvise means you're pulling from a bank of knowledge and you're doing it with machine gun fire rapidity. You're a genius when you can take music that you've learned and chord progressions and arrange them at a moment's notice and play notes on top of them in a specific scientific order. To me, that is not bringing something up from nowhere. That is dealing with some serious knowledge and education, and that's not improvising.
Well, how about that, Irvin? What do you think?
What makes the band interesting is we have a bunch of different things going on, a lot of things at one time.
But as a jazz musician, somebody who's really kind of got his training in jazz, and we think of improvisation as being at the heart of jazz, do you feel like you're improvising, or is this...
When you think about jazz, it's not so much just being a jazz musician as much as being an American. And I think that's the way you have to really look at this conception of what we're doing. What we're doing is, the only way this could really happen is by coming through the democracy of jazz music, because that's what jazz is. It's the manifestation of democracy into music. You know, Duke Ellington said there's only two types of music, good music and bad music. And as long as we make it on that good music end, I'm okay. The conception of the band, first of all, now we have Horacio Negro Hernandez, who is from Cuba, Havana, Cuba, right, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
I'm from New Orleans. Well, no matter what I'm doing or what type of music I'm playing, I'm always going to be playing from that type of conception. I am from New Orleans. Horacio is from Cuba. So what Bill is able to do is to bring together this thing and make it work together, because he's had the fundamental interest of making all these things come together. Now, when you think about Cuba, you know the national dance is rumba, and the music is rumba. When you think about Brazil, you're talking about samba. You're talking about Jamaica, you're talking about naibingi. When you talk about New Orleans, you're talking about the second line music. When you talk about second line music, you're talking about jazz. And jazz is America's fine art, and that started right here in New Orleans, Louisiana. So that is our indigenous music. That happens to be our rumba, our naibingi, our merengue.
Tell us a little more about that second line. You've got a cut on your latest CD, Volume 3, called New Second Line, and you should probably explain a little bit about what you mean by the second line, you know, what that means musically, and how it influences your music.
The second line came from the funerals that were done in New Orleans. They call them jazz funerals. And basically what happened, a band would play, an outside band, so it would be wind instruments, you know, and there would be a snare drum and a bass drum, and then they would play dirges, or slow church songs, for the funeral processions. And on the way back, they would speed these songs up. And the mourners would be considered the first line, and the people on the way back who would be dancing would be considered the second line. So that became known as the second line. And also the music that you played along that time became known as the second line music.
And a lot of folks were coming in from other places, too. They may not have even been participants in this funeral, but they were maybe coming out of their houses
But see, that's a Caribbean thing, because in the Caribbean, you know, everybody's a part of a party. Yeah. It may not be a part of the funeral, but when the party comes back, everybody's a part of that. That's anywhere. You know, that's Cuba, that's Jamaica. I mean, when you want to have a good time, well, okay, that must include everybody. And you want everybody to be included because the community is a family, even if you don't know the people. When you see somebody, you assume, oh, okay, yeah, they must be my mama's cousin.
We're invited out to be part of that second line.
Yeah, most definitely.
That's right.
And you know, another thing, jazz is party music. That's what it is in New Orleans. I don't know where this conception came that it wasn't. And in New Orleans, when you hear the second line, you know what it's time to do. Somebody says, but it lit, duh. Everybody says, yeah. But you know, for some reason, these other states, man, it's like, we have to tell people to get up. You know,
we never tell people to get up.
Sometimes we have to say, it's okay. We don't say get up. We say, it's okay. You can move if you want.
It's like you can move. You can see them wanting to move.
Yeah, they look like if we move, they may get mad.
Yeah,
there's a real kind of a street party feel to a lot of these songs, and what Irvin was just saying is that you have to hold it together. A lot of percussion. You and Orazio are both playing on this thing. How do you pull all that together and keep it coherent?
I like to look at it as a family reunion. It's not very difficult what we do. If you look at what the types of music that we play and the origins of these music, we have an African bass, and we keep each entity pure. At least we try to. And what I mean by that is, for instance, if we want to join our music, say New Orleans-style music, with Cuban-style music, if we want to put those two together, we don't say, well, how are we going to make them fit? African music, Afro-Brazilian, Afro-Cuban, Afro-Haitian, Afro-American jazz, merengue, whatever music you want to put together, if it is from the diaspora, it's like cousins and aunts and uncles and sisters and brothers coming together. See, so what we do with our music is bring together the entire world family of music. There's something deeply spiritual about what we're doing because when we play, people come together. We had a gig recently at Tipitina's, and there were Africans there. There were Asians there. There were lesbians and gay men, blacks. There were people from Honduras, from Colombia, from Japan, from China. Look, we have the potpourri. We created musically what Martin Luther King did for the civil rights movement. We are doing with music. That's how I look at it.
Irvin Mayfield and Bill Summers are founders of Los Hombres Calientes. Their new album, Volume 3, Congo Square, will be released this week on Basin Street Records. And they joined us from member station WWNO in New Orleans. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much, Frank.